pray, and then we'll get started. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your patience toward us. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for giving us your word so that we can dig in and sit under and be immersed by the things that you have said. There is no better thing than to sit under your word. Help us to enjoy it just this morning in Sunday school. Help us to enjoy it as we come to worship here in about an hour. And Lord, we ask especially for your Spirit that he would grant us wisdom, illumination in our minds and in our hearts, and that where we are wrong, you would be merciful toward us, and that we would have the humility to know that none of us knows as we ought to know, particularly when we discuss matters of infinite worth and infinite knowledge, such as you. Thank you for being patient. We ask again for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I think most of you have a have a little packet there. If you don't have a packet, go ahead and raise your hand because we have a packet hander outer. It's an official position that we have this morning. Yes, so raise thy hand. I'm going to give a quick overview. So the next 8 weeks, and we chose 8 weeks on purpose because the Lord's Day is the eighth day, and you'll see, hopefully, that's like weird nerdy things that we do that no one else has an idea about, but it's like, oh, we'll do an eight-week session instead of a seven-week session, instead of a nine-week session, or God forbid, a six-week session. But yeah, so we'll spend the next 8 weeks. What we're going to do and what we'll start setting out this morning is a theology of the Lord's Day as being the ideal that God was bringing everything toward the whole time. So this morning we're going to talk about the idea or the history or the idea that now Sunday worship, Lord's Day worship, the resurrection was what God had in mind from the very beginning. And so in Genesis, when he made the pattern of one in seven, when the Sabbath was on a Saturday, when he created, and we'll get into this, when he created, you should take that hat off, sir. Yes, exactly. You did that on purpose. It's being recorded forever. Just so you know, for the history, this is going down in the annals of history. The Texas Longhorns beat the Oklahoma Sooners yesterday. Every year into perpetuity. So when the Lord did creation, even the first day, he chose to create on Sunday because of where we are today. So we're going to get into the ontology and teleology of the Lord's Day. And then Doug Hayes is going to, for the next, what would it be, two, three, four, five, six, seven, for the next, I feel like that math isn't working out right, but for the next series of Sundays, either six, five, or six, or five, Doug Hayes is going to kind of walk through, so right now we're starting at the end. Doug Hayes will then next week begin at the beginning and then kind of do a redemptive historical walk through the Sabbath as it pertains to God's people, as it pertains to their faithfulness in keeping it, but then also how God responded and just how important the Sabbath was throughout the history of God's people. So not necessarily a verse-by-verse exposition, but more of a redemptive historical look of the Sabbath. And then week eight, will then come, and I will come back. I'll be here hopefully those Sundays as well. But then on week eight, we'll come back and then really wrap up how impactful you guys keeping the Lord's Day as a New Testament fulfillment of the Sabbath can actually change the entire world. So we hope that going through this, you guys will actually grow in seeing how much of a blessing the Lord's Day is, not only for you, but then also for the life of the world. If you're interested in digging deeper, there are some resources that I'm in particular going to be drawing on. Doug can share some of some of what he's drawn on, but the one is Sabbath as resistance. I don't know if you guys have your hand out there, but Sabbath as Resistance by Walter Brueggemann. I wouldn't recommend a ton of Walter Brueggemann because he tends to be quite liberal on a very many number of things. But strangely, the Sabbath isn't one of those things. He writes a wonderful work. And that's kind of primarily what we'll be talking about at the end, is how you guys practicing the Lord's Day is resistance against the principles or the principalities and powers of our day. The True Doctrine of the Christian Sabbath by Nicholas Bound. That is a very thick, I don't think you'll probably want to read it, but we'll be drawing off of it. It's about that many pages long, so I don't know, I don't entirely know how many pages, but about that many. The Day of Worship by Ryan McGraw. That's a pretty short treatise on it. It's actually a pretty delightful little work. And then The Lord's Day by Joey Piper. Piper tends to be, and I actually don't even know if I'm saying his last name right. Piper tends to be quite dogmatic and quite rigid on anything that he's arguing about. So when you read that work and know that we're drawing on it as a resource, read that work knowing that we're drawing on it as a resource, and yet we're not drawing on it with the same passion that Piper deals with it. He has things such as not driving your car for a great many miles as a principle drawn out of not having your oxen do labor on the Sunday. And he kind of has a whole, I think it's a whole chapter on how he argues that not driving an excessive number of miles is a way to keep the Sabbath. Great way to preserve the life of your car. I'm not sure I feel as passionate about that particular thing as Piper does, but he's very thoughtful. He has some good arguments. So that is a resource that we'll be drawing on. Like I said, Doug will probably be drawing on a lot of other things, but he can fill you in on that. Okay, so if you want to flip there to the first page, you'll see that we're going through week one, ontology to teleology and back again. Now, there's some concessions that I think we need to make up front in regard to this particular doctrine. Most importantly, we could very well be wrong about it. Okay, this isn't like infant baptism or eschatology or any of those other doctrines that we're completely certain about. This is a very, very niche take that we have on the Lord's Day that by and large, the majority of the church, really throughout history, hasn't taken. And so anytime, and I encourage this line of reasoning for anyone, anytime that you hold or we hold a particular doctrine that is in the vast minority, we should at least be honest about that. Okay, so this isn't one of those in or out doctrines. It's something we think is important. It's something that we think is important enough to emphasize it a lot. Okay, but we really, really want to acknowledge and be humble enough to admit that we are in the minority in this. Okay, and so you're going to have brothers and sisters who have, one, never heard of what we're talking about over the next 8 weeks, probably, but then don't practice it. Okay, we think they're wrong. Obviously, we wouldn't teach what we teach. We think there are better ways, or we wouldn't teach what we teach. We think there's a better way to understand the things, and you're going to see that, I think, over the next 8 weeks. And yet, again, this is not an in or out issue. Okay, this isn't like the Trinity. This isn't like the dual nature of Jesus. And what I don't mean to say by saying that is that this isn't important. Okay, we think it's 8 weeks worth of important into eternity. But I think as the temptation can be to take everything that you believe and put it on the same shelf, okay, and be as vehemently arguing about that thing that you argue about every other thing. This isn't one of those, okay? So I hope what you don't hear is me saying this isn't important. Do you hear me saying that? Do you think what I'm about, what we're going to talk about for 8 weeks is important? Yes, okay. Do we have brothers and sisters that disagree with us? Yes. Could we be wrong? Yes. Okay. So please, please keep all those things in mind. Okay. There's some key terms, particularly in regard to today, that we're going to be talking about. One of those is ontology. Okay. That's sort of the nature of a thing or the being or a thing. A thing is as it is. Okay. So ontology, and then teleology is what is the purpose of that thing? Okay, why does that thing exist? What is the purpose of it? Okay, and so I think the temptation for us, particularly as those who exist inside time, because like we can't really avoid that, we exist inside time, and so we think linearly. God exists in such a way that he knows all things at all times, all the time. Okay. And so when he created a linear sort of time for us to exist in. Okay. And when he created on day one. Before that, day one didn't exist. Okay. But day one existed, and day one came into being for a purpose. Day one was when creation began. Day one is when the resurrection happens. We don't think that's a coincidence. Okay, so the fact that Jesus rose on Sunday is not something in God's mind that came 2,000 years after creation, 4,000 years after creation, or 6,000. In God's mind, that all was already true. Okay? And so the fact that God created the world on Sunday, not Friday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Saturday, was because the resurrection was already in mind. Okay? So the eighth day or the Lord's day existed on Sunday from forever. Okay, so when we say ontology and we start to talk about the things of the Sabbath, I think, and we'll talk about things that we have in common with our brothers and sisters and things that we don't have in common. But for us, we don't believe that the Lord's resurrection on Sunday was an accident. Okay, we don't believe that it just happened to be after the Sabbath or after the seventh day. We believe that the seventh day was created in the beginning in order to help us understand the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus, just like everything else in the Old Testament. Okay? The sacrificial system wasn't created in such a way that was like, well, I'm going to create this, and then Jesus is going to come, and then he's going to like fulfill all of this stuff that I created. Yeah, that works. Okay, it's a supralapsarian way of thinking. Jesus, if I'm going to create this thing and these people, and if I'm going to save these people, then the Son of God and the Trinity, this is a hypothetical conversation that John Murray wouldn't want us to have, but the Trinity would be having a conversation that says, well, therefore, Christ or Son, you must then come and save them. And he says, okay. It's not as though God is always playing historical catch-up. Okay, he knew what he was doing from the beginning. Okay, so when we say the Lord's Day is a fulfillment of the Sabbath, we're saying that that was always the intention. Okay, and that was the purpose. So when you look at the seventh day Sabbath, the Saturday, that had a purpose. That had a teleology. That had a trajectory that God's people were on to prepare them for the resurrection. Okay, does that make sense? All right, so you'll see there, there's some key texts primarily what we'll at least be thinking about this morning is those texts from Hebrews. We're not going to take it and we're not going to read the whole thing, but there are, and we'll talk about this here in a minute, some of our brothers and sisters will actually go to Hebrews to show that Jesus is our Sabbath. Okay? Jesus is our rest. We are to rest from our works of righteousness because Christ is our righteousness. And we say with our brothers and sisters, amen. Okay. And yet we also would come to Hebrews and say, that's not the only, the author to the Hebrews writes a great, almost everything that he writes is showing that all of these things that the Jews had were to reveal Jesus. And as great as that was, okay, I think we have a temptation to look back at the Old Testament and be like, man, that sucks, right? That's not how God's people thought of it. That's not how God thought of it. No, this is wonderful. You know, the revelation of all the things that God did for his people in the Old Covenant was grace. It was mercy. God's people have always been saved by grace through faith in the Messiah. Okay? There was never a works like, well, you need to earn it in the Old Testament. That way in the New Testament, you can kind of understand just how hard that was. Okay? No, it has always been by grace through faith in Yahweh. Okay? And that's what the author to the Hebrews is saying is, look, all of these shadows, all of these types, all of these ceremonies, all of those things in comparison to Jesus are nothing. So what he's not saying is that those things are bad. But what he is saying is in comparison to Jesus, that's nothing. Okay, so you'll hear, Jesus speaks this way, right? He says, if you don't hate your father and mother, then you're not worthy of me, right? Now, does Jesus mean you should hate your father and mother? Of course not, okay? What he's speaking is in terms of relative to your love for him, everything else must be as hatred. Okay, and so that's the kind of thing the author to the Hebrews does when he writes what he writes, is relative to these other things, or relative to Jesus, these other things are nothing. Okay, so he's trying to get people not to diminish God's grace in the Old Covenant, but to glorify and magnify God's grace in Christ. Okay, that's how much better Jesus is than any and everything else. Okay, and so when he writes in Hebrews 3 and 4, and he's talking about the Sabbath, he says, Christ is our Sabbath, yes, but there still remains a Sabbath. Okay, there's still a rest to come. And he's first and foremost saying there is an eternal rest. There is this eternal Sabbath that we will have, and don't fail, right? One of the main themes to Hebrews is perseverance. So don't give up. Everything that else is going on around you, that people are trying to get you to turn back, they're trying to get you to reject, fight, persevere, keep going. Okay, you have a great high priest who empathizes with you. So everything that he's talking about is trying to magnify Jesus and say, stay faithful to Jesus. Okay. And yet he also then, there are also actual ways that you stay faithful to Jesus. Okay, so when he talks about the differences in worship, he says, okay, under the old covenant, here's kind of how worship was. And you remember those guys that didn't worship the way God? Yeah, that turned out bad. Okay, this is even a bigger deal, because our God is a consuming fire, okay? And so we will run to that as Christians and say, see, look, any worship that you bring isn't on par with all other forms of worship, okay? You can't just do whatever you want in regard to worship because God is just really happy-clappy with everything. No, God is a consuming fire. He's holy, and yes, yes, he's gracious. Yes, he's merciful. Yes, he's loving. Yes, Christ is your high priest. And because of those things, take very, be very careful how you worship him. Okay? And so when we come to this idea of the Sabbath, it's not as though he's talking about how Christ is the Sabbath, there is this other Sabbath, and yet therefore there's no really other, no big deal. You don't really have to do anything. It's like, no, there still remains this type of rest. Okay? And we believe that that is the Lord's Day. Okay? And so just how we'll take Leviticus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and say, yeah, you don't actually have to have like the grain offering and the, you know, the sin offering and the peace offering and the ascension. We're not like actually doing those things by slitting all these animals and like eating all the meat. And yet those things did exist so that now we see the pattern for what it looks like to interact with God. Okay? And so for those of you that were a part of our covenant renewal class, that's what we do every Sunday. We go back through Leviticus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay? Now we don't slay some goats up here. The beauty team would be like, hey, that's kind of gross. You're messing up the carpet. And God wouldn't be pleased with that because Christ has fulfilled it. Okay? And yet it is still the normal way that God interacts with his people is, and we'll see this even, we've seen this in Ezekiel 1 and 2, and I'll emphasize it in the sermon this morning. The normal way of interacting with God is on his day that he's set aside, he calls you as his people into his presence. And everyone who says, nah, I'm good, they've already disobeyed, right? Because God has said, on my day, you will gather in my house, and I'm going to call you to me. Okay, now everyone who then faithfully responds to that walks in some of these doors and comes in here. God calls us into worship, and we do what Ezekiel and the priests and Moses and John and Peter, anybody else that realizes they're in the presence of God, what do? Boom. Right? We are not worthy to, you know, so we have this same pattern. It's not as though that's kind of what God demanded then, and it's not really a big deal anymore. Okay? It's like, no, God, that was a teacher. That was a tutor. That was preparing you for Jesus and what I want it to look like all along. Okay, and we believe the same is true for the Sabbath. Okay, what happened on Saturday was preparing God's people from the beginning to do what we do now on Sunday, and we will continue to do forever, even in the new heavens and the new earth. Okay, so the Sabbath that happened on Saturday in Genesis 1 and 2 was getting us ready for eternity future. Okay? So the ontology of it was from the beginning, and the writer to the Hebrews is saying, is highlighting that reality, that this was true now, this is true in Jesus, but then there's also this in-between that we still do the things that God has said to do. And now the way we do it is informed by the resurrection of Jesus. It's informed by the sacrifice of Jesus. It's informed by, because Jesus has recreated everything. Okay, just as Yahweh created everything on, or began to create on day one, Jesus began to create on day one. Okay, he ushered in a new creation on Sunday, and that new creation is still taking place. And that's just how Yahweh did it on day one, with the beginning of creation. Okay, so the Hebrews is, the writer to the Hebrews is saying we live in the in-between. All right, so questions over that. Okay. All right, so I want to review, and yes, sir, we do have official handout, man. We are out of official handouts. What I can do, oh, there we go. There's an official handout. What I want us to do today is kind of get, sort of set the framework, okay? And I want to also couch everything that we're talking about to sort of help you guys wrestle through how weird we are relative to everyone else, okay? We've acknowledged that at the beginning, but I also want, because what Doug is going to do is he's going to, like I said, take you through the history of things, but I'm going to kind of try to bookend it with how the reason for it in the beginning and then kind of how it is existing right now. And a big part of that conversation is, well, then what is where does that put us relative to everyone else? Okay, so I want to highlight, just as we would, I'm giving a talk to a bunch of Baptists in a couple weeks on baptism. Okay, I'm going to start with all the things we agree on. Okay, because I think the tendency is to imagine that we are like leagues apart. We are not leagues apart. We're like inches apart. Okay, the rest of the world thinks we're all crazy. Okay, so we've got brothers that are literally a block from here that we really disagree with, perhaps, on their take of what the things that we're, but we're like this far apart. Okay, and so I'm going to talk about the things that unite us to remind us that we're this far apart, not this far apart. Okay, so one is there was a Sabbath, and that Sabbath was Saturday. Okay, whatever else we disagree on, whatever else Sunday should look like, we all agree that there was a Sabbath. Okay, and that Sabbath was Saturday. Okay, so we'll argue downstream, but upstream, Sabbath is and was Saturday. Another point of agreement is that the seventh day Sabbath was binding. It wasn't just, here's kind of this thing that is. It's no, this is or this was binding on God's people. Now, again, we might disagree on whether it still is, but we all agree that there was a Sabbath, that Sabbath was Saturday, and that Saturday was binding. Now, well, we'll get into what we disagree on later. Okay, that was binding for God's people. Another thing that we agree on, at least we should agree on, maybe I'm rethinking this one now as I see it on the slide, the Sabbath was a gift. Okay, now you'll get your extreme antinomians or your extreme guys that may draw a hard line between law and gospel that might not think this. But by and large, God's people were to think of Saturday, Sabbath, as a gift. Okay? It was a gift for them. It was a gift for anyone that they were to be over. Okay? It was a gift for their family. It was a gift for their friends. It was a gift for the community. And it was a gift for the world. Now, we all agree that there is a Sabbath now of some sort. Okay, and we'll get into that when I talk about our points of disagreement. But we all believe that there is now a Sabbath right now. And there is a Sabbath that will exist forever. Okay. Now, what that is, how that is, those are things we do disagree on. But we all believe that there is a Sabbath now. And then we all agree that there is a Sabbath yet, okay? So we'll all read Hebrews, and we all acknowledge there is a Sabbath, and we all acknowledge that there's a Sabbath that's coming. Yeah, if there's more official handout guy, here you go, official handout guy. Well, there is now. They're warm. You can still tell. Devin just gave birth to them. So there remains a Sabbath yet, okay? Now, whether that is now or in the future, what that looks like, there's a disagreement, but we do agree that there is a Sabbath that remains. And just so you know, I ran this by the hardcorest, like, Sabbath rejector, Old Testament law rejector filter guy that I've known, okay? And I'm like, look, I'm going to talk about the things, and it's really hard for him to admit that we agree on anything, okay? So, he hates to admit that we agree. And I'm like, dude, Stuart, like, just stop. I know. Just stop. Can we agree? You know, so I've run this through the filter and you guys owe me. Okay. we all also agree that when the New Testament speaks of the Lord's Day, it's talking about Sunday. It's talking about Resurrection Sunday. Okay. Now, there's things that people will say that doesn't just mean that, or that doesn't primarily mean that. So when John in Revelation is worshiping on the day of the Lord, there's discussion around, is he using that term to mean Sunday, or is he using that term to mean prophetically, or the day of the Lord's judgment? Like, what does that mean? But everyone would generally agree on that the Lord's Day is Resurrection Sunday in the New Testament, and that that's what the early church adopted as the day of worship. The other thing that we agree on is, and this is going to sound perhaps obvious, Sunday is not Saturday. Okay? Those of us that would say that we are Sabbatarians, if somebody uses that language, I don't think that's altogether the best way to speak, because now we do it, right? I think when you use that language, it should be language of condescension, not in the sense of like, I'm better than you, but in the sense of like, I'm speaking this way to help you understand what I mean. But when somebody says Sabbatarian, what they don't mean is that they practice this on Saturday. Okay. But we just said Sabbath means, yes, Sabbath means Saturday. Okay. So when someone says Sabbatarian, what they're not saying, well, there's the Seventh-day Adventist guys, but most of the church acknowledges whatever you believe about Sunday, there has been some dramatic alteration or fulfillment or distinction that you make from Saturday to Sunday. Okay, so even those of us that practice the Lord's Day Sabbath, we should at least admit the fourth commandment's talking about Saturday. Okay, so the minute that you switch to Sunday, you're admitting that there's not a one-to-one connection. Okay, and we don't have to be afraid of that, but we should admit that. Okay, so Sunday is not Saturday, and another thing we all agree on, because we're not leagues apart, is that Sunday's still special somehow. Right, I have met people who think Sunday doesn't matter at all, but the majority of people in the Christian world treat Sunday at least a little different, even if it's just for an hour and a half. Right, now with the advent of Saturday evening service or Thursday evening service or house church on a Tuesday, I feel like there's some sort of unraveling happening. But generally speaking, Sunday is still special somehow. Even IHOP acknowledges it, okay, because they staff up on Sundays, or at least they do in the South. I don't know what it's like up here, but the old joke in the South is that the Baptists and the Methodists and like all the denominations are like trying to shorten their service times so they can get to IHOP, right? Lubies, is that what y'all do up here? Oh, I remember. Yeah. Junior college, Lubies was the thing, baby. But yeah, so even the pagans, they're holy. I'm sorry. Nick Clark, Roger Clark, Vicky Clark, whatever the guy's name that started Chick-fil-A. Sunday is still special. And Sunday is still a gift, right? I would hope that all Christians everywhere can agree that Sunday morning is a gift from God for the people of God. Okay. Sunday is still a gift. And I think it's strange, and I might hammer this too much later in the sermon. I think it's strange that if the church believes Sunday is a gift from God for the people of God, why would they forsake it? Okay, even if you don't believe it's as binding as it was, if the Lord says, I've got this gift for you, why would you turn it down? Right? So that's a tangent that I will go off on later. So Sunday is silly gifts. So those are the things that we all agree on. There was a Sabbath that was Saturday. The seventh day Sabbath was binding for the people of God. Sabbath was a gift. Sabbath is a gift. There is some sort of Sabbath now. There remains some sort of Sabbath in the future. The Lord's Day is Resurrection Sunday in the New Covenant, and it's still special, okay? So again, we're going to get into the minutia of all of this, but we all agree on that, okay? Any objection, any disagreement so far? Even though you know where I'm going, have I said anything so far that the church as a whole doesn't generally agree on? Okay. Yes. Oh, it's you. Sure. Okay, I get it, yeah. Yeah. Inviting in a right. Yeah, and so I know this is getting recorded, so the Longhorn fan, Robert Jones, just pointed out that when we have the call to worship, it's not, we should not treat it, nor does God view it, as like a wedding invitation, even though I think we all still treat a wedding invitation as far more formal than, hey, is there a time that you can come over and we can hang out? The Lord views, and therefore we should view, according to the Longhorn fan Robert Jones, it is more of like a summons from a judge, okay? And I think he's right. This isn't being video recorded, so it's not. I win forever. When the Lord, and we see this in a lot of the Psalms, we saw this in Isaiah, we see it in Ezekiel, when the Lord calls the heavens and the earth and for people to pay attention, there is this sort of courtroom feel, or this idea that something official is being said right now, and the option to deny it isn't one. Okay. Did you have something, Brian? Sure. And Dak Prescott? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, you're getting like a mini sermon right now, but in Ezekiel 2, that's a lot we're going to talk about. Like, Ezekiel is being sent to the people of God to declare, "Thus saith the Lord," and they're not going to listen, which is insane. It's the epitome of insanity. The God of heaven has spoken. Our response should be like, what are you saying? But it's like, and I see this, it just rips my guts out. Second or third generation Christians, man. As a first generation Christian, sometimes I want to just knock y'all out. Because it's like, you have no idea. Some of you do. Some of you have no idea how amazing it is that God has saved your parents. Your parents know it. You've been brought up in this house that knows God. And then I try to talk sometimes to second or third generation Christians, like, yeah, I mean, I know that. It's like, are you kidding? It's God. You know? Anyway, sorry. I'll get that maybe later. Okay, so points of disagreement. So we said that we all agree that there is a Sabbath now of some sort. Okay, so we all agree on that. But we disagree on, is it Saturday? Okay, there are some branches of the church, however small, that still practice Saturday Sabbath. Okay, and what they're trying to do, even if we disagree with them, what they're trying to do is keep consistent. So if they're going to say there is still a Sabbath, and Sabbath was Saturday, Sabbath is Saturday. Because they see what we see, and that Sabbath was Saturday. And they see the Ten Commandments, and they say, no, we should keep the Ten Commandments. And so what they say is, yes, Jesus rose on Sunday, but we practice Sabbath on Saturday. Because Sabbath is Saturday. Okay? Now, do we agree that Sabbath was Saturday? Yep. Do we agree that Sunday is the Sabbath? Nope. Okay, and so we've departed and we disagree with them. Okay, but at least we should acknowledge they're trying to read their Bibles, they're trying to be consistent with their Bibles, and they see that Sabbath was Saturday, they think we should still practice Sabbath, and so they practice it on Saturday. Okay, now they have a whole host of other things that are far crazier than that, but at least that one makes sense. Okay. There are others that say every day is Sabbath, okay? And so there is this idea, and again, they're trying to be faithful, okay? So they read their Bibles, and particularly Hebrews, and because of the way they read their Bibles, in the Old Testament, there was this sort of works, energy, merit that had to be achieved, okay? Christ achieved it. Therefore, we do not work for our salvation anymore because Christ has earned our salvation for us. And therefore, because Sabbath was trying to get people to be prepared to rest in the finished work of Christ, the Sabbath is no longer something that you have to practice in the Old Testament. Every day is a Sabbath because, and this is where the next group falls in, Christ is our Sabbath. Okay, and so for them, Sunday through Saturday, it drives me kind of crazy sometimes when I see the calendar that starts with Monday, and I'm like, no. that doesn't bother them. Because for them, every day is special in the sense that we are all resting in the finished work of Jesus. Okay, so, and I have friends that are pastors, and it's hard to stay friends with them sometimes because they're like, I'm going to take my Sabbath on Tuesday, bro. And I'm like, that doesn't work that way. It's not. Stop talking. Because they have the view that every day is resting in the finished work of Jesus. Do we believe every day is resting in the finished work of Jesus? Yes. Yes. But we also believe that was true for Moses. Okay, we do not draw a distinction in the Old and New Covenant that, well, back then they had to earn their salvation and now we don't. I mean, that's crazy talk. That if anyone has ever had to earn their salvation, we're all in trouble. Okay? It was really hard, yeah. And so for us, even though we disagree with them, at least understand where they're coming from, okay? And they're coming from a position of the finished work of Jesus, which we say yes and amen to, okay? So again, this far apart, not this far apart. Now, I think that hermeneutic eventually puts you really far apart, but on this particular subject, we would agree with them that yes, Christ's work is sufficient, and we rest in Christ always. And then there are those who believe that Sunday is Sabbath, okay? And we would actually, surprise, surprise, fall into this category. And yet, when we say Sunday, or when we say Lord's Day, Sabbath, there's going to be a lot of things that we'll see. There's a ton of carryover, but then there's also some departure in that, guess what? It's not Saturday. Okay, so we are going to have to, and I think because we're in the minority, I think the burden of proof is on us. Okay, and so hopefully over the next 8 weeks, yes, 8 weeks, not 6 or 7, you'll see that. Let's see. I already told you about all that. Okay. Yeah, so I don't think I need to say we have. Okay, I'm not saying that. Tyler, you can probably delete the last like 10 minutes of the rambling that you're going to hear from me. All right, that's all for the introduction. Yes, questions? Yes, sir. The Lord's Day all along. Yes, so the magnificent Senor Wilson, who is a TCU Horned Frog fan. And yeah, he is in, on the record. He sometimes texts me during the TCU games. He's pointing out there's a space there for you on kind of the key phrase. And that's something I want us to kind of keep at the forefront of our minds is it was the Lord's Day all along. Okay. So Sunday has always been where God was taking all of this. Yes, sir. I would say yes to the extent that we push it, but no to the extent that Sunday is to be set apart the whole day. Those of you that have grayer hair than me even remember a time when even our pagan country, sorry to offend, acknowledged that Sunday should not be open for commerce, right? Blue laws. Yeah. I mean, I remember, even I was growing up in Lake Dallas, Texas. We were podunk, which meant we were probably 20 years behind the rest of you sophisticated people. But you didn't get to go to the grocery store on Sunday. Like, you go on Saturday. And now I wasn't a Christian. I just knew everything's closed on Sunday. I didn't know why, you know, but I think what you're saying is historically, the idea that Sunday would be unique, would be set apart, generally isn't a day that you do everything else that you do. No, I think we're safe in that regard. Yes, you've already got one, so yeah. 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 Yeah, so we're going to lay that out, but just on the surface of it, we don't go to Starbucks on Sunday. that's weird, right? And they're like, you're mean. And it's like, no, like you don't understand what we believe. It's like, and we're going to get to this, but it's like, no, this is a gift. We love God. We love our neighbor. We love, you know, like the reason we don't do some of the things that we don't do is because of love, right? Because we actually think this is a gift that can literally change the world. And that's weird to people. Okay. And we'll play that out, particularly in the last week. Yes, sir. Yes. So the question I just answered was about how the narrow view that we take from Mr. Ashworth, the Texas Ranger fan. So I answered that. And then now Mr. Wilson has another question. He's a Dallas Cowboy fan that he has in some part of his notes that Sunday is not Sabbath. And then the other part, Sunday is Sabbath. Yeah. So when we speak, and I will probably do this on accident a ton. When we do talk about Sunday as Sabbath, we are kind of misusing language, okay, because of what we said. Sabbath is Saturday, okay? But Sabbath also means rest. Sabbath also denotes a day of the Lord. Sabbath. So there are other things the Sabbath means that allows us to speak of Sunday as Lord's Day Sabbath. But technically speaking, we're probably not using it the way that it should be used. Does that help at all? Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir. No, go ahead.
Even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercise of God's worship, except so much as to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy.
Yeah. Well, so I would take, did you get that, Tyler, from the Reverend Nolder? Not really. Okay. What shorter catechism question is that? 60. So for those of you who are listening to all the Texas sports fans' questions, shorter catechism question 60 will be where you do get a pretty good idea of where we stand, which would then therefore put us with that tradition typically, which isn't a small tradition, but it is a small tradition relative to every other tradition, particularly relative to where we are today. There was something else I was going to say. Oh, so like recreation, and I don't know where the other elders stand on this, but there is it's what's called the recreation clause that the Westminster guys would have said, you don't go bowling on Sundays. You don't go for a jog. You don't play sports. Some of us are okay with recreation on Sunday because we actually see that as a fulfillment of the Sabbath is recreating. Okay, so we wouldn't be strict Westminster, which then does remove us from that big picture, I guess. Yes. Yeah, so the question is, do we see this as more gift or command and then more celebration than rest? And I would that's my answer is, yeah, if God has intended something to hug, we let him hug. What God has joined together, no man put asunder. And so if it is gift to be enjoyed that God has said to enjoy, yep, it's command, gift, enjoy. Right. If he said, is it rest or rejoicing? And he said, it's rest and rejoicing. We say rest and rejoicing. Right. So depending on where somebody is, they might need to be thinking about it a different way. But we wouldn't prioritize or try to parse any of that out. All right. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the gift of today. As we know that brothers and sisters all over the world and throughout time have tried to wrestle with what it looks like to honor you, to enjoy you, to rejoice in the finished work of Jesus and celebrate his resurrection and the new creation that he started. We thank you for it, and we thank you that we're a part of it. Help us to do it better, even than we're doing today, for Christ's sake and for ours and for the life of the world. Amen.